Hi, this is Violet Lang. Welcome to my podcast, The Pleasure Path, all about love, dating, relationships, and femininity. I help successful, spiritual women find their pleasure and their power to create healthy partnership. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fabulous episode of The Pleasure Path. And I'm so excited about our conversation today because I just know it's going to be full of magic and connection. And that's really the essence of love and of matchmaking, which we're going to learn all about from Zev. So him and I have kind of orbited each other for a while, but this is our first time really meeting face to face. So welcome, and please tell us more about yourself.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on. And, yeah, it's true. We have an interesting weaving of our lives. You know, you were working with my wife right when I met her, and you were really there for her in a moment when I really freaked the bleep out about the fact we were getting married. And she always quotes you as being like, "No, I think he's just freaking out. I think it's going to be okay." You know, that really was supportive for her to just let me have my moment. And true to form, it's true. I, you know, after I was done freaking out, I was really all in on our marriage. And we've been married now for 4+ years. And yeah, we're deep in it. And, you know, I just needed to have my moment. Apparently, I'm not the first. And, you know, for it's fun story because you guys were working together, but the part maybe that hasn't been told is I had just come out of an 18-20 year marriage. So I was married before I met Tara, and I was not planning to meet her so quickly. I had a deep I would tell my ex-wife, like, there is someone out there. I was like, should we be poly? Should we, like, I was just like, I like, it was tearing me apart on the inside. It was quite painful. And I just started to reveal more and more with, I didn't know what else to do but just be honest. I had been with the mother of my children for 20+ years. So like, I just, like, at some point I just hit a wall where I was like, the only way through is to be really honest and to really share my heart and to not try to be weird or go, you know, do other weird things that wouldn't have helped the situation. And so, but I just had this clear feeling there was this other person out there for me. And I kept saying, I was just like, I don't know what it is. And then, so basically I moved out and then I met Tara like on Tinder less than, I met her as I was moving out. And she was like, "Hey, you're a weird dude who clearly still lives with his like wife. Like, what's?" And it was just like, that was not her thing. And she had done enough work with you to be like, "I don't think I should be doing that. You don't sound available." And, but then, you know, finally we did get together after I moved out, and it just really quickly became so clear that she was my person, you know. And while I fought some of that for a little bit because I was just like, "Wait, I've been married for 18 years. I should just like be kind of single and be a bachelor and do all the things." It was just so clear that she was for me. And we got married a year later, year and a half later. So yeah, that's how we got woven together. So thank you for being part of our story. And it is fun to come here and see you and thank you in person. We haven't met in this way. And yeah, and it was so interesting. I had an intuitive feeling. I was, you know, as I become a matchmaker, we'll talk about this, but I was like, oh, like, where can I tell my story? Where are people that are, you know, people who have platforms? And I just had this immediate intuitive feeling to reach out to you. And so thank you so much for feeling that and creating this moment together. It's super fun to be here.
Yeah, thank you for sharing their stories. And I said, like, your story, their story, because it's both of you and Tara together. And then we'll talk about this later, like me and my husband. And it's funny hearing your side of things or your narrative of it, because Jason, my husband, had been in a 4-year relationship. So not obviously as long, but he had come out and was trying to date and it wasn't really going that well. And then we met and we have this kind of cosmic love story. And at the time he was like, "Yeah, that's great." And like, I had this concept, right? He had a concept that he was supposed to be like dating and being single for a while, being a bachelor, like all the things. And then after a few months, he's like, "You know, I'm so embarrassed. Like, it took me this long to really realize, like, this is it, you know?" And I'm glad that you're speaking to this because I think there's this tendency, especially in our culture, to be like, "Well, how do men do things? How do women do things?" And our two stories do kind of overlap, but there isn't like one magic formula. You know, each human being is so unique. And I think it's just about the resonance, and the resonance just deepens and deepens and deepens. And then it becomes a point where it's just undeniable or inevitable. What I want to talk about today is really, how do we view finding love in a really spiritual way, but without bypassing, without losing our humanity? And kind of what's the difference between coaching and matchmaking, and why do we maybe need both of those, or what do they offer us that can be additive?
Yeah, and before I even jump into that, I just want to say, like, I definitely came across, like, when I got separated, like, everybody was kind of okay with it, me being like single. Like, everyone's like, oh, Zeb, and I had just been through a lot with my ex-wife, and like, I was kind of like had somewhat of a hero status in the family and community systems for how I showed up for her. And then, like, everyone was like, okay, something's shifting. We don't like it. But like, him being single and doing the bachelor thing made sense to people. What incensed people, though, and like, they could not handle, was how quickly I moved into a relationship. That like broke people's hearts for some reason. And I thought that was so interesting that, like, me sleeping with a bunch of women and having fun, like, that seemed like everyone had space for that. But me, really falling in love with my new partner so quickly was actually really painful for a lot of people. And I just want to honor what you said about these societal norms about what, you know, what roles we have for people. What are people supposed to do? How are we supposed to respond to divorce or separation, or like, that they're, you know, that there's some guidebook or manual for that versus just like the flow of life, you know?
Totally. And I'm just present to how the patriarchy is so harsh, like on men and women, right? Like the patriarchal message I'm hearing from your share is don't open your heart too much. Don't fall in love. Like you should just kind of shut down a little bit, at least your heart space, but go forward sexually. And like, yeah, that's so weird of a message. And I think maybe sometimes it's inverted for women, like, oh, well, who knows? Time is ticking. Will you ever meet someone else? You should really find someone and settle down again, or else you're not going to be able to XYZ. You know, you're going to die alone. So I just want to name that it's so interesting how we have these ideas about how things should be that are shaped by forces so much bigger than us. But kudos to you for just hearing the call of your heart all the way back from the, you know, however many years before you and your ex-wife separated, of just trusting your intuition. Like that's such a big deal. Had you not done that, you know, you might still be in quotation suffering or not living your full expression in relationship. And your wife, your beautiful wife, like would not be receiving your love. And you guys want to be creating the fields that you guys are creating together. So it's just really important, I feel like, to honor those callings of our heart and move under the story or through the story. I'm smiling for those of you that are listening on audio. Like I'm smiling because I can feel this like as we're having this conversation. And I imagine that that's part of the joy for you as a matchmaker, that you get to feel the sacred spark of two people coming together. So yeah, tell me about like matchmaking, how you got into that, why you're passionate about it right now.
Well, it's a funny story, really, because I never, sometimes a prayer prays you, and I think that's what happened with matchmaking. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be a matchmaker, but I've been leading men, working with men and leading men's groups for a really long time. And part of the way was women would always be like, oh, do you have any great guys? And so there was just this sort of natural flow of men coming into my circles, and then women wanting to meet guys and guys being partnered off. And so there's been some really beautiful success stories along the way, some really beautiful love that's come through men showing up to humble themselves, to learn how to be with other men, to be self-reflective, to learn what it means to have a prayer in their life. You know, prayer plays a big role in the work I do, in matchmaking as well. And so it's just kind of like slowly over time. And then I was with some women not that long ago, sometime last year, where like people were really just like so upset about like the dating scene, and they were just so hurt and so taking it so personally that like something might be wrong with them. And I was just really listening to women on a deep, deep level. And I was just like, wow. Like, I was like, this is crazy to me, because these women are like gore. I was like, you know, if like my wife was open to me having 20 wives, I'd marry all these women. They're just amazing, you know? I don't think I could I'll do that either, even if she let me. But that's the joke I sometimes make. But I was like, there's nothing wrong with these women. They're wonderful. They're incredible, beautiful, sophisticated, smart, spiritual, like just great, you know, creative. And so then I just started to put it out there. Hey guys, like, you know, if you're looking for a real partner, I know women, you know. And that was kind of that I wrote one post like that, and it just took off. It was just, you know, hundreds and hundreds of comments, men and women DMing me. And it was just like people started calling me a matchmaker in the post. Like, oh, are you a match? Like, it was just sort of like this collective energy started to circle me. And I started to sit with it, and I was like, I want to do this. Like, I want to be of service in this way to help people who are feeling really, you know, these are your client, you know, beat down from dating, and just really, you know, so you get it better than anybody. You know, it's just like how hard it is on the soul to be, have such a longing, such a desire, and to not have it met. And especially like you got business going great, made some money, got great friends, got a great house, like a lot of good stuff going on, but there's this one piece of life that's just like won't come together. And what that does to a human psyche and to their heart. And so becoming a matchmaker felt like a place where, and I guess I'll say also like it is a co-creation. It's a miracle someone meets their partner. So for me, I've always been looking for like where like prayer is at the center of my life. It's how I function. It's how I work with people. Everyone I work with prays with me. Like I don't have another way. It's what works for me. And I know for you that's the same. And but I never felt really comfortable like putting prayer out as like the service. It's like it's a tool to work with something. And so matchmaking is such a nice home for prayer, really. Because like if you ain't got a prayer, I can't help you. And if you ain't willing to pray, I don't think I can help you either. Because like we're gonna need all the help. And so I approach matchmaking from that place. It's like we're gonna co-create me and my clients, and the people on my list, and then we're gonna call in all the help we can from all the spirit guides and creator and great whatever you call it. Like I'm not in the business of telling people what they're praying to. I don't really know what anyone prays to. But that's sort of how I became a matchmaker, and it's been super rewarding. I've had to sort of upgrade a lot of my own systems inside myself, nervous, because it's like, as you, it's fun talking to you because you probably can relate better than anybody. Like, I want my people to find their people right away. And what I'm learning is it's a ceremony and it's a journey, and I can't go faster than it all wants to go. And so I'm learning the first couple months of being a matchmaker, I literally felt like insane because I couldn't stop thinking about it. All I would do is think about my clients, and they knew it too. And they're just like, wow, like they felt touched by it. But I was just like, over functioning almost. And now I'm learning how to come into a place of peace around it and to really let the miracle do its thing. And that's really my role as matchmaker is to really understand a person, to really see them so clearly and be a frequency match for them so that then as I'm finding people, candidates for them, I could frequency match and go, oh, you know what? You feel like my client, not like, oh, you have brown hair and she likes brown hair or he likes brown hair. It's like, no, you feel like, like, oh, I think the three of us could all hang out and have a good time. Like that's sort of my assessment. It's like if I wouldn't want to hang out with the two of you, I don't think that's the right fit.
I love that. That's such a great way of speaking about it, the frequency match and putting prayer at the center. Because I worked with your wife, I know that she was looking for someone who would have prayer at the center of their life. And on some of your early dates, you prayed and initiated praying with her. And it was just exactly what she was looking for. And so I can feel not only you and her frequency, but then the devotion you carry for your clients. And I'm nodding along because similarly, I'm like, oh man, I'm just on fire for all of my clients to meet their partner, and also humbled by the grace and the mystery of the universe. And sometimes the person that I'm longing for them to meet their partner, it's not only that they have things that they're working with and through in their relationship within themselves and all the pieces and parts of themselves, but the person that they are, we could say, destined to be with is in another country and isn't here yet, or is in a relationship and isn't single yet. Like there's so many extra factors. And I don't use this very often, but for a while I was saying that I was a cosmic matchmaker because even though I'm not actually a matchmaker in the 3D world, I feel like I am helping people become their best self on a soul level and reconnect to their divinity on a soul level. And from there, like attract someone who I talk about a lot, can meet them from the upper chakras down instead of like, oh, let's connect on the root. How much money do you have? How safe can you make me feel? Like, or the second chakra, like, oh, am I physically attracted to you? Versus, what's our purpose? What's our vision? Can we communicate well together? Do our hearts feel good? Do we not have power struggles? Like, just all of that. So I think there's a really big part of finding love that is matchmaking, along with, like you said, the journey that love will take us on. And you do the work with your partner, you do the work when you're single. It's not like you ever stop doing the work. So anyone who's like, oh man, I just want my person because life will be perfect. It's, we all know that that's not true. But there is something about the unique time in history that we are in where other aspects of life, I'm not saying they're easy, but we have a lot of avenues to succeed, achieve, transform, whatever it is, right? Like if you want to become an entrepreneur and you're in a day job, or if you want to work on your health, or like information and transformation, we're abundant in, but deep soul level connection, we're not always abundant in. And that is that longing of the heart to be in partnership. And I feel like there's no amount of external success that can fill that longing to be seen, held, and loved and cherished by a beloved. So it feels like important work, that we're both doing, and this unique lens that you're bringing. Tell me about some of your most fun success stories or just like magic moments in your matchmaking so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, my favorite is when I can put people in a room together and have a sense that they're for each other and not have to tell them. You know, like, so I have some really great stories of men in my men's group who went to a ceremony, and like, I kind of knew who, like, I knew the dynamic. And we, in my men's ceremonies, we have women to help facilitate because we don't do just like closed men's ceremonies. It's just sort of how it started with my teacher. His wife always came to the ceremonies, and so then it was like, oh, our men's ceremonies include women. That's just how we do things here. And so there's one really amazing story around that where they just, like, he left the ceremony just enchanted by this woman, you know, and just like, he texted me, and I was like just waiting for it, because I didn't put any pressure in the field, you know. And they are just so madly in love with each other years later. It's such a beautiful story of a man doing his work and preparing himself, and a woman really, you know, preparing herself to be seen. You know, and I think so much of what you said about the chakra, like, it makes so much sense. I've never thought of it that way. I really loved your model of the chakras, but it's so true. It's like, how are we seeing each other? You know, there's so much pressure in the field, that you know, it melts our brains. And to really see someone in a pristine way without that pressure, I think is so important. And other stories of, you know, I have some great stories of men who just came out of relationships really struggling, or in what I call like male torment. And I think women have it too, but I think men have a certain kind of flavor of torment that they put themselves through about, should I stay? Should I go? I love them. I want to go. I should, you know, and I definitely had that for me. That's how I'm so familiar with it. It's like, I know the torment of being ripped apart from the inside. And so I have a great client who was just, you know, just being shredded apart on the inside, and supported him through and out of his relationship, and then through a process where then he met his partner. And that one, you know, similar to you, like, as a matchmaker, you know, I'm just all in on them finding their partner by whatever means necessary. And so some of my clients are going to be introduced by me, and some are going to tell me they met their person through an app or through someone showing up in their life. And so it is the ceremony. You know, for me, matchmaking is essentially a ceremony. And so it's like a rite of passage versus what I think most of the industry. So I'm new to the industry. Like, you know, I could share about my background, but my first job really was working in group homes with kids who are wards of the state. And then I was a special ed teacher. And so I've had a long journey of working with people, but matchmaking, it's like, I'm not from that world. And so I think matchmaking is in some ways a dating service program. You know, some of the big ones, you know, it's usually for really affluent people who are on the super edges of wealth, and they're getting a dating service that's hopefully attuned, but it's really a numbers game, and they're putting them on dates. And I haven't heard that, you know, I know success happens, but I don't hear it talked about in the way that I'm orienting to it, the ceremony of it, the rite of passage, the miracle of it. And where we're, and then on the back end, I'm also cultivating, you know, I have a call after this one with the man who I think could be a great fit for one of my women clients. I love the vetting, you know. I love this would be interesting to share. It's so fun to talk about this. Thank you for the platform. I love that I am in it with my clients, especially the women who are like dealing with weird men. I don't know what else to call it, but just weird men. Like, I'm now vetting the men and going like, oh, I'm blocking. I'm not even going to introduce this man to my client. Like, I am now having to have a higher standard sometimes than my client. But I'm also in the rejection field of like, oh wow, this is frustrating. Like, I get to feel as the matchmaker of like, oh wow, I thought I had this great candidate for a client, and then it's like, oh, seemed great, I get it, not a good fit. And so it is partly really fun for me to be in it with my clients. Like, I as a matchmaker, it's a deep process. I'm totally blown away by it. I'm really humbled by it and honored by it, and it's super fun. And I love how courageous my clients are. I love how nervous they can be when they decide to, you know, step into it. I'm sure you see that too with your clients. They're like, okay, I'm signing up. Like, and I guess I'll close on saying that one of the healings is that, you know, especially in this capitalistic, you know, patriarchal society, like, women especially, and men too, but the level of independence everyone has to have to survive. And then you apply that to dating and relationships, and like, if it doesn't come easy to you, it doesn't come easy to you. You need some help. And so I think that's a lot of my clients are super independent, the men and women. It's like, oh, but they're like, they just have some challenges around relationship that they really need help with.
Yes, exactly. I find that too. And I find that sometimes there's a recalibration because what our parents or our society or schooling applauded in us was that self-sufficiency, was that sense of accomplishment. And it was almost this idea, well, if you figure those things out, surely you can figure out relationship. And it's a totally different operating system and it's a different way of being. And ironically, the more that you figure out that in relationship, because everything is relationship, the more that your success amplifies. I mean, a lot of my clients, not only are they in the process of finding their beloved and finding their beloved, but they're finding their passions, they're finding their purpose, they're finding what lights them up. And you talked about visibility. And a lot of times we can hide our gifts because we are either in pain and suffering for good reason, because we're trying to find our partner, or because we're afraid of being seen for who we really are. So we're kind of dating on the surface and we're not really showing ourselves and we're not really being clear about the depth that we're looking for. So many women come to me saying, yeah, I've been told that if a guy asks what I'm looking for, that I shouldn't necessarily say I'm looking for a relationship, or I shouldn't say that I want XYZ to have kids. It's like women have been taught to withhold because they've been labeled as too much. Their desire is too much. Their prayers are too much. Their emotions are too much. And so then there's all this withholding and secrecy and things staying on the surface. And no wonder then it feels frustrating and disconnecting. And when we can kind of take away some of those masks and just get more real with each other. I mean, it's so simple, but one of my favorite things that I share with my clients is just, I feel I want. Like there's nothing in life that can't be solved with just how you feel and what you want. It doesn't have to be so complicated, but we do have these kind of not shields, but ways that we have survived that aren't conducive to relationship or to finding a partner. And I loved when you said, that men are kind of humbling themselves, not because I want men to be less than or something, but because I think it takes that for both genders to really let go of the list, the checklist, and focus on how are you feeling moment to moment with this other being? And can you see what's emerging versus like your timeline, your checklist, all of these things?
Well, and this is one of my favorite teachings from my teacher, a man named George Bertelstein, who really gave me, most of what turned me into the man I am today. And he used to say, it's a lot for us men to be loved by a woman. Like, we actually aren't wired for it. And if you find a really good woman who just like your man, like, good luck to him to be totally like, he needs all the men's groups he can lead on a regular basis just to be able to be loved by you. Because you're a real deal. And same with me with my wife. Like, she just loves me so much that sometimes it's a lot for me. It's like, and I have to not defend myself to that and to be, and so the expectations on men to just be good at love, I think, are sometimes hard. And that's why I love men who can love other men and be loved by other men is a good place to start, to get so that you can open up to love in a kind of comp, because to be loved by the goddess, by the queen, by the whatever you want to call it, the divine feminine, whatever word someone likes, it's overwhelming. And then if that woman gets upset with you, good luck to you to be able to stay in it and still receive the love in that, and to not run away or to make her a problem, or like you said, to the woman's too much. It's like, woman's just right. It's just like, it's more men who are trying to learn how to be with that much, energy.
And I mean, women have their work to do too. It's
Oh,
just, it
yeah,
looks
for sure.
different. Yeah. And my husband does men's work, so he works with men obviously on kind of getting aligned, becoming that pillar of integrity for being able to hold all the love and everything that comes along with it. So yes, just double clicking on the men's group and the importance of men's group and
And he's
working with
really good
them.
at it too. He's really, I mean, I had a chance to be on an interview panel with Maya and another man, and your husband really stood out to me. And I love his marketing, and I just, he's doing great work.
Thank you. Well, it's so fun to kind of be in this ecosystem together. And I wanted to go back to what you had said about dating. And you said you're kind of new and newer in the dating kind of industry or space. And yeah, I have heard so many stories from so many women that are like, oh, I, signed up for a matchmaking service and they didn't really take into consideration who I am. Like it was just about the numbers and the metrics and almost a little bit shaming, like, well, why didn't you like this person? Or there's a way that we can kind of yuck someone else's yum or try to shove someone into something. And I know that's not what you do at all. And I also agree that when we water down our vision, we get less of what we want, and then we just stay in this cycle of boxing ourselves in, or rather not boxing ourselves in, like being so open-minded that we lose our sense of discernment. And I am just there with you, like raising the bar that we should be able to repair. We should be able to have conflict and work through it. You know, we should be able to like share our hearts and our longings and be met in that. And then also move through some of the sticky moments, like you were mentioning at the very beginning. You know, every relationship is going to have times early in the process, late in the process, anywhere in between, where stuff comes up for us personally, and how can we still be a source of love, but also healthy boundaries and accountability with our partners. So it feels like you're guiding people on that
Oh
same sort of journey.
yeah. Well, it's different for my male clients versus my female clients. My female clients, for sure. Like, I think my first connection with them is really being a man who can see them, and I think that's why women are curious about working with me and are choosing to work with me, because they're like, oh, this is how I want to feel, and I want them to feel that. I want them to be like, yes, notice how I see you. Notice how I can receive feedback when I've pissed you off. Notice how I can. But I also am not afraid to say my truth. So like I both, as a coach for so many years and now a matchmaker, like I have to be transparent and honest and push a little, but I also have to be deeply honoring. And so to your point, like, one of my clients, I sent her a really great man who I thought was just like really great. I was like, this is it, baby, And she was just like, oh no, oh no. And I was like, but and so I pushed a little. But then I could really hear her deep, soulful, intuitive know in her body, and I was like, I respect that above all things. I was like, I respect that, and it's like, for me, it's like, especially once someone starts talking about the somatic no or something, an embodied no, then I'm like, yes, of course. And so they're getting to, there's like a modeling we're doing together to inform me, but also for them to be received that way. And so that the men who I meet for them, I can tell them how it is, like, hey, this is an amazing woman. Like, if she doesn't feel you, then sorry, bro, I can't, like, your job is to help her feel you, because I can't, if she gets an embodied no, I can't, I'm not going to short circuit that. I'm not going to try to override that. I will ask about patterns, and I will ask about, avoidant tendencies, or I'll ask about all kinds of stuff that I'll dig, and I'll look. And then at some point it's just like, okay, I really hear you, and so and same for the men, the men folk that I work with, they're just like, they have some of the same stuff going on too. It's just like we all have our patterns, and you meet. And I, what's been really enlivening is just like how exciting it is and how fun it is for people to be set up and to do the matching. And it's just fun. It's exhilarating, all of it. And it requires a lot of care. I think why the universe has made me a matchmaker, because I'm uniquely qualified to really care about people. And so I don't, there's no part of me that's flippant about any part of the process. I just really care about my clients. I love them deeply. I'm doing it, I'll do everything I can to find them their person. And it's just like, it's humbling and beautiful, but yeah, it's all the things.
Yeah, I'm nodding along because when I'm working or talking with someone for the first time and we're kind of feeling out fit, I'm always feeling in my body my like, wow, I love this woman. And if I can't find the like, I love this woman, then I'm like, I don't think I'm the right person to work with her, right? Like, I have to be 100% in love with her and devoted to her and the process, because there are a lot of ups and downs, like you mentioned. And I'm glad you also mentioned patterns of attraction, because what of our patterns of attraction are influenced by our parents, you know, are influenced by our culture, are influenced by, you know, crazy ass beauty standards, like whatever it is. And I think for men, that's exacerbated by porn and just all the other things that men are bombarded with nowadays, sex bots, you know, all of that. And so there is like this truth telling that has to happen, but packaged in love. And then, like you said, the deep respect for the somatic no. And as you know from your wife and all the women that you work with, women are witches. Like, I from the beginning was always like, I want a great, well, from the beginning of after I got divorced from my first marriage, but I was like, I want a great love story. Like, I don't know why, but I just wanted a great love story. And so I met some great men on apps or in other places, and there was a way that there wasn't the depth I was looking for. And there were other aspects, like in terms of the man's energy being dynamic. I wanted like depth and dynamic, and to be able to like go on an adventure and feel the rush of something new. And my husband and I have a great love story. And I always look back being like, that was the most random thing that I really was focused on, but it mattered. It mattered to me. And so I hear you're listening the way that you listen to your female clients. And that is not always what women receive, you know, in connection with men, is a sense of really being listened to. Do you have any thoughts about, because I have listeners like this, I'm sure, that are like, you know, I've done all the things, like I'm showing up in integrity. And I'll give my version of this after I hear from you, but it's like where people just feel forlorn and they're not sure. They're not sure what to do next. And sometimes it then becomes this questioning to the universe. Like, am I meant to be in partnership? And how do you work with someone who's kind of spiritually going through a dark time?
Well, I think one first is just honoring that, that is sacred in itself. Like we're here to suffer, folks. Like we're here to grow and get uncomfortable. So I just like I lean in a bit, and I welcome that, and I just try to keep it as sacred as possible, and then I kind of then get curious about how those thoughts and those feelings start to really color our days and our life, and I am curious about what might feel better, and so I kind of take an approach, and I think the people, once they hire me, it's like immediately they feel a lot better because they're like, I got Zev on my team. I got hope. I got possibilities. Zev's working on it. He's going to make sure I don't do crazy things and date that crazy person. And like, he, okay. It's like, I just watch him come alive, and before, like, even when I meet them on the first intake call, it's like they're forlorn, and there really is something wrong with me. And I think, I'm fortunate I'm married a Vedic astrologer. So for your listeners who are familiar with that, like that's like I didn't even know what Vedic astrology was before I met Tara. For those listening, her name's Tara Divina, and you can check her out. But I didn't know what it was. But now that I've been with her for over 5 years, it's like, oh, I see that karma is playing out in our lives. And so there are forces beyond just like, are you good enough? Are you hot enough? Are you bad at relationships? Are you avoidant? Are you anxious? Are you disorganized? Like, it's just like there's a whole bunch of stuff we don't understand. And so I do think like the more we can relax and enjoy ourselves and get the help that we can find to support us on a journey of aliveness. I think this is about, it's like people might use the word turn on. I tend to use the word aliveness just to so I don't get stuck into overly sexual tone, but I think being alive, being turned on, it's the same thing. It's just like you feel a rush of life, and I think the question is, how do you find your way while feeling forlorn to your yes to life, to more please, to like, I'm here for it, I'm here for my life, whatever that looks like. And then from there, I think you get a surge of energy. And like that's where it's like people who work with you immediately, they're like, okay, I'll go on the apps again. Okay, it's just like back to life. Like there's like, it's like so I think in closing, I would just say that forlorn energy has a certain frequency, and it's sticky. And if you get, if you, it's like feel it, honor it, be in it. But if you get stuck in it, then it starts to color your whole life. And then it takes, it's like I met this amazing Brazilian woman once in a spiritual community in Brazil, and it's kind of my favorite quote that I use for everything, so I'll use it now, which is like, salt is great for meals. A little bit of salt, great, but too much will ruin it. And same with being forlorn about some circumstance in your life you don't like. It's like we all got shit we don't like, and so it's like, yeah, not having a partner is an exceptional kind of dislike. It has a certain taste to it. It's not fun. No one likes it. If you want to have a partner and you don't have one, it sucks. It's like I just see it on so many friends, and and so it's like, but if you think about it, like salt, if you put too much of that in your plate every day, your life's gonna feel pretty shitty when there's probably a lot of blessings still in your life. There's probably a lot to be grateful for.
I love the depth that you offered there, and just the self-accountability to look at our life really holistically instead of this kind of spiritual bypassing. And when you and I were messaging before we had this podcast about what we're going to talk about and all that, like I knew that there was something around prayer and spirituality, but the wholeness of all of life's experiences, instead of just, oh, I'm going to meet my partner and it's amazing. You know, I was just closing out a container recently where we did family constellations for each individual in the program. And it was the same people as representatives. So it was a closed container of 9 people, and every person got a constellation, and it all related to love, dating, all of that. And so we were working with each other's fields, and it was interesting what was coming through around like how is dating evolving, which is less about, what app are you on and all the practical, tactical stuff, and more about becoming love and about being in high potential places and being in the right frequency and alignment while also expressing our rage and our despair and all these things that we're talking about. And I think there's a way that we, especially as women, get fed this narrative of like, wait for the man of your dreams, wait for like the perfect person. And then we feel disappointed and we feel kind of gypped by God, or we feel like, what, poor me. And believe me, I like get in a pity party for myself plenty of times about things. But I've recently been working with this idea. It's not a new idea, but this idea that like dating and love are an initiatory path. Like it is not just like a law of attraction, I want this thing and like, where is it? It is a process that is going to evoke our deepest wounds, because a lot of our deepest wounds come from relationship when we're really young. And so how can we stay on that path of initiation while being authentic to like what it's like to be a human and yearn for something? And my clients don't always like to hear this, but sometimes I say, like, when I'm really going through an initiation in my life, like Jason and I had fertility struggles in between our first and second child, sometimes it's a 3-year process. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's like a month or two, and things just shift. And there is this intersection of right timing and readiness and resourcefulness, right? Like, I met Tara at right timing, where she had already done a lot of work. She had momentum, in her corner. And I think to tie it back to constellations, I think you guys actually met at a family constellation event
I was
before you
laughing when you
met on
said it.
Tinder.
And not only that, I was at her ex-boyfriend's family constellation. They were together at the time, and I was still married, and we didn't even meet. And when I went to her house for our first date at her house, her roommate gave me a big hug, and Tara was like, "How do you know Zev?" And she goes, "He was at the constellation." And like, Tara had no, like, we just, there was like an invisibility cloak we had by the universe. We weren't allowed to see each other till it was time. But we were right, and there was only 15 people at that event. It was under a tree. It was a very powerful story.
It's such a powerful story, because I do believe that we are kind of blind to love or to the possibilities until we're ready. And not because I believe in some fatalistic universe or that we don't have free will, but the conditions have to be right. And who knows, like being in my orbit, to your point, like shifts things. People being in your orbit when they choose to work with you shifts things. And I'm looking at the picture of the two lions behind you, and it's so funny because the card that I pulled before, and the hummingbird, or is that a hummingbird or a
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Anyway, the card that I pulled before this was for the Lyra constellation, which is all about the lions. So there's
Wow.
definitely some like lion energy, the huntress and the mane and the boldness. Anyway, all of that coming through. So I got a little distracted, but yeah, there's something around right timing, readiness, which like you're preparing men for, I'm preparing women for, you're preparing women too. But what I see is women come in maybe like a little more ready, but there's a level of resourcefulness that they're working on, which is like ferociously devoted to their prayer of love and willing to just be like, you know what? This rose is blooming. I don't care who's walking by. Like, because this rose just like wants to feel good about herself and wants to be seen in her beauty. And I tell my clients, like, if he can't feel you, he can't find you. And he can't feel you if you're holding your transmission like just right here because of hurts from the past or whatever it is. And so, yeah, I love what you were saying about honoring the forlornness and not getting stuck there. And
Well, I love what you
but
said about the pity party. Like, yes, have a pity party. Like, it sucks. Complain, get upset, cry, like, have the whole deal. Just don't make that your whole life. If like that would be my if I had an offering, it would be like, I've had my heartache, I've had my heart, but it's like, how do you not let that be your life, And it's like, it's really hard not to, because it's so sticky.
It
We
is.
could get habituated to it.
Yes. And I want to come back to magic is real. I think I know I hear time and again that people need and want that hope, and not bypassing hope of just like, okay, I'm going to hope, but then, stay in my pajamas at home eating Cheetos and like not actually ever go out and meet anyone or put myself out there or be vulnerable or whatever. But I love hearing the stories about your clients, and I'm hoping to share more stories of my clients later on this different episode of this podcast. And I just want to share one other really little example, but a profound one is Jason and I got married at Burning Man back in 2017. And then we had like a real, or I shouldn't say real, we had like another wedding a few months later. But I remember at one point putting my hands down on the playa and just being like, I am sending all this energy and all this love to all of my clients right now. And at the time, I don't know how many clients I had at the time. It wasn't like a huge amount, maybe 12 or something. And we got off the playa because I hadn't been checking my phone. And one of my clients had found a partner that she ended up getting engaged to months later and then married. Now, I'm not saying I am like, I'm definitely not the hero in that story, but I say that to help people realize that the web of love is real and like it's just pulling one thread. It doesn't mean you have to do all the things, but it's staying connected. It's pulling one thread. It's working with someone like Zeb or working with someone like me or Jason or whoever. And, being willing to follow that thread and see what emerges and receive. Like you said, men challenged to receive love, but I think women also sometimes feel challenged to receive faith and trust and hope and a knowing, like a deep knowing, like, oh, I'm going to meet my beloved and it's going to be extraordinary.
Well, one of the hardest things I think for human beings to do, definitely for me, I would say this is like my spiritual practice right now. It's just like relax. It's so hard. I've never been so sober and so up against my own stress systems and my own like kind of just I don't know. It's like an existential panic, for everything to work out, to everything to be good, my girls to be good, my daughters, my wife, my all my clients, like just like this kind of racing system. And so, like I often say, my number one job right now is just to relax, to
I
as
took
much
a
as
deep breath.
possible. I noticed, right? I said
Just hearing that, I was
relaxing.
like, ah,
And so
yeah.
sometimes I just have this mantra, which is to, the more I relax, the more I receive. And I think that's
Beautiful.
true for all of our clients. It's just like, oh, relax. Receive the love that I'm offering, receive the love of the universe. Let's like slow it down. Let's like, and I realize what everything I'm saying, the hardest thing to do. It sounds simple, but it's like close to impossible. So I'm pretty repetitive about it, but I think that is a big part for anybody out there, for anybody listening who's going like, okay, what's the help? It's like, okay, like how do we just be with life on life's terms? And part of what makes us so upset is when it's not how we want it. You're 40, you're 45, you're 52, you're 38, you're 65, and you don't have your partner, you're upset. That's not how you wanted it. And all respect and honoring to you for having that, because it sucks. It's not how you want it. But once you then release yourself from that and relax around that and let life be as it is, then you can, one of my favorite medicine teachings is soften, open, and allow. And so I love what you were describing, the rose. Even you kind of like opened up. I was like, oh, okay, there we go. Okay, this is like, yes, the feminine. It's just like this rose. And it's like, oh yeah, soften, open, like slowly open again to allow something really good to come into your life, versus that forlorn energy is pretty protective and pretty closed off. And for good reason. You've been hurt, you've been down some roads, you've been, you've tried your best, you loved, you failed, I never judge anybody for being protective, for goodness sakes. It's so hard being a human being. It's like yes, protect yourself. And if you want to get into love, and I love like that you're just such a stand for it. It is so fun talking to you and connecting with you. I'm just like so glad we finally did this. But just like the magic, the magic exists in the realm of possibilities and in what hasn't happened yet. Not in, you're not going to find magic in the stone of it's never working out for me. There's not magic in that. There's truth. And there's pain and there's suffering and there's growth and there's healing even, but magic is a totally different sorcerer's stone if we're going to use some of these words. It's like you have to open to magic.
Yes,
Got
and
to
you're
call it
reminding me
in.
of Yeah, you're reminding me of one of my clients. I've worked with a few male clients, so I mainly work with women. And he came to me in that forlorn state, and you could just even feel it and see it in his body posture. There was like a tucking in, like of his chin and a collapse in his chest and all the things, and like a shaking of his head, kind of like battling with his reality, And fast forward, I think 5 months, maybe 6 months after we started working together, he met his now partner at a yoga retreat in Europe. that he was going to a wedding and was like, well, I'll just go a week early and go to this yoga retreat. And like a few days before he left, it was still kind of a few whispers were coming back of like, oh man, I had really hoped I could take someone with me to this wedding. And like, it hasn't happened yet. And I was just celebrating. But look what has changed, right? Like your patterns of attraction have changed, your availability has changed, your self-awareness has changed in these ways. Like we had done as much preparatory work as we could. And sure enough, he met someone at the yoga retreat who he took to the wedding, right? But they met. There's no other way for them to meet. You know, she lived in Europe and he lives in California. And again, I'm not taking credit for it, but I'm just saying there's a way that we can hold the field for the highest possibility and help someone instead of this spicy as like spiky, like, oh, I'm gonna like meet my partner. I'm gonna law of attraction. I made a vision board, blah, 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 you know? And then like the crash that comes when that doesn't follow through. And I really like how you keep bringing it back to the body, bringing it back to the emotions, because love happens in so many ways, but it's a physical thing too, right? Like we are in these bodies for a reason and we're searching for a partnership that can meet us in very physical ways, in addition to spiritual, emotional, and mental ways. And so it's kind of like this on-ramp, you know, versus just the spiky nature that our culture tells us that it should be easy, or you know, if you stop looking, then it happens. And there's just so much kind of brainwashing that goes on. And I'm grateful that your clients have the opportunity to be held in the space that you cultivate with the beacon of the relationship you have. And I think that's also important for me and my husband is like, we're living this, we're walking this, we're talking about our fights, you know, we're like reminiscing about, you know, Jason not being ready for a relationship when we first met and then being ready, or me throwing the grenade because I'm like full of wild Shakti and just burn it all down and then, you know, having to repair after that. Yeah, all the things.
That's great. I like the reflective qualities of your relationship with mine and Tara's. There's a lot of that. A lot of that. And us men, you know, I think we, you know, if you're able to be loved by a really amazing woman, it's going to grow you up. That's why I believe partnership as Pat, like we used to run a program with my teacher and his wife, and was called Partnership as Path, because there's no spiritual path quite like being in partnership. And that's why everyone longs for it, I think, because people can tell on some level, like, if it's just you against yourself all the time, it's pretty easy to live to your blind spots. You don't have to grow if no one's around calling you on your stuff or making you feel uncomfortable or squeezing you, you know, like in the way that a partner can squeeze you, like, you know, to make orange juice, not squeeze you to like make you miserable. I'm trying to paint the wrong picture, but I think growth comes from pressure. How do I show up for this person? How do I manage, like you just said, like how do I get through this fight in a way that's more loving? How do I become less defended when my wife seems upset with me? How do I become more self-reflective when we get into a fight and I really can see what's really there in my heart that wants to be shared, that she can hear, that always softens her to go, okay, like I see where you're coming from. I see why that was hard for you, versus just volatility and defensiveness and attacks. And, you know, it's mostly her fault, of course. You know, this is our basic, you know, pattern, you know. But yeah, I think that partnership is it makes sense that people are want, it's the prayer people have. If they don't have a partner, it's the number one prayer, you know. It's just like
Yes.
the partner, it's a core human experience that I think everybody wants to have, to be loved, to have, to be someone's person.
Yes. And I think about that often because I think about centuries ago or decades ago where people may be in partnership, but we don't know if they were with their beloved, right? Because there was not a lot of access. You know, you grew up in the town you grew up in, or you went to school where you went to school, and there was definitely matchmaking and aunties and, you know, people who wanted to get involved and good and maybe meddling ways. But then there wasn't dating apps, you know, and there wasn't meetup groups to go to or family constellations to go to, or my husband and I met at a meetup on lucid dreaming and all of these different ways that we can expand. And I liked what you said about, you know, growth and pressure. And I want to just add one extra layer, which is sometimes the growth comes through returning to our pleasure. It's like, okay, I'm in the pressure cooker. Okay, like, how can I soften? How can I come back to my pleasure? How can
Beautiful.
I let that like open one other petal on the rose? Because I know for myself, sometimes if something isn't working, I'm like, okay, then let me do 25 more things instead of like you said, let me relax, let me find my pleasure. And so I love this, you know, kind of toggling between pressure and pleasure and pressure and pleasure and letting that work us, like you said, to make orange juice.
But I love that, just like I love that catch on your part to bring back in the pleasure, like as I kind of man it up on this like pressure cooker, you know, and it's like I even as I heard you say it, I was like, yeah, it's really kind of a man thing to say, you know, and it is so helpful to hear you bring that forward, and it is, and pleasure for men is its own abstract notion. You know, like Tara jumps in the bath like every day when she's just like, bath time. She's like, I'm absconding to the bath now, and I'm like, I don't have that. I don't abscond anywhere, you know. I don't even know what that looks like. You know, so it is helpful to feel that and to see that is where the relaxing is too. You know, it's like it is in the pleasure, you know, for contracted opening and pleasure. So I really love that invitation for myself. I'm gonna take that for myself. Received,
Thank
received.
you. Of course. And I think there's something around embodying divine union where we find it in a partner and whether we're single or partnered, and then we're always returning to that in ourselves, right? So it's like men leaning into their pleasure can be really balancing and full of restoration, and women really leaning into their agentic side and being willing to go to the meetup, to be on the apps, to hire a coach or a matchmaker. Like there's a place for that too. And so I always think of it a little bit like a Jacob's ladder, you know? So it's like, you come together and then like, oh, then I'm still doing my work in this way and you're doing your work in this way. And if you're listening, you can't really see what I'm doing with my hands, but it's like this ping-ponging or whatever cascading effect of us finding divine union in each other and finding it in ourselves and then finding it in each other. And I think in psychology they talk about it as like individuating and then coming back together, but that is that dance of life. And you can even pattern that with the universe, like, okay, I'm going to be like so devoted to God, and then I'm going to be so devoted to like the earth and my pleasure and all of these aspects. So I'm just agreeing wholeheartedly that I think dating, relationship, love is all these micro and macro initiations that just bring more fullness and wholeness to ourself and also to our lineages, right? To be able to like beam back to our parents and grandparents and their parents that they never maybe had the opportunity to find a soulmate level love, like I have with Jason and you have with Tara. Like it's pretty exquisite.
Pretty special. And I think like this could be its own another show, not to take us down another rabbit hole, but I just want to invite in this notion of like the stories we tell matter, you know. And I would say in my partnership there was a moment where I like kept having these stories of Tara that just like weren't very fun. And they were kind of like that I like we had this huge fight around and then like this big healing around, and then I was like, oh. Yeah, like how could you ever be the thing that I want you to be if my story about you is that this other thing? And I saw how painful that was for her, and I really keep watch on the stories I tell. And if I start to go down some of those rabbit holes, I have to pull back out, you know, and go, okay, wait, let's reassess the vision and the story that we have. What is actually true? Because that's the true story. And I think for people dating or looking for their partner, if your story is the forlorn story, that's a really difficult one to bring to some man or some woman that you go on a, like I just got off with a client. He's a wonderful man. You know, he's 42. So any women listening to, he's a great catch, you know, like so I'm inviting it in right now. But like his story is so entrenched that I am like, no. I'm like, I'm not doing this story with you anymore. I'm not. It's like this is not why you brought me into your life. This is not even what's real. I get that you've had the, and I was like, I understand, like we get comfortable with stories because they are. There are stories. So I think the forlorn story becomes a sort of comfort because it protects us from more heartache. It's a better story than the next heartbreak. And I say, you know what? Like, let's go running into those flames of love and burn all the way up and just F it, you know? Like, just like one of my favorite things to say to people is just like, thank you for never giving up on love. Just thank you. You know, like you've had a million reasons to quit. And like here you are talking to me, or you're working with Violet, or working with her man Jason. It's just like thank you for not giving up on love. And in that pursuit, I think that story is where all the magic happens.
That's a perfect place to end the episode. I mean, I could talk with you forever, but how can people find you if they're curious about your matchmaking or other work?
Yeah, if you're single and you're like, okay, so I have a matchmaking list that's free to be a part of, and I call it like participating members. And if I have a client and you're a match for them, then I will reach out and I will email you and say I might have a match, and we jump on a call and we get to know each other, and then I introduce you if it works out. And you can just go to lovezev.com/join, and fill out the form, and then I'll get an email and I'll check out your form and I'll reach out. And then if you're curious about, at the end of the form, there's a little question that just says, are you curious about my services and what working with me would look like? And if you say yes, then I send you a different email. And if it seems like a good fit, then we jump on a call. But I definitely encourage anybody listening who has a prayer for love, and no matter how different your prayer is. I have people who are polyamorous and monogamous. I have people who are very monogamous. And so I'm just kind of like, what's your prayer? Like, let's start with that. And I love what you said. I feel I want, to fill out the form is a good place to start. And then, I could share my socials on Instagram and Facebook if you just want to follow along and see what else I'm up to.
Perfect. I will put that into the show notes, and that just feels so powerful but gentle at the same time as an invitation for people to be a part of your orbit and your community. And yeah, let's get people connected, because banding together from these places of sovereign love, I think, does ripple out. It's like these little islands that we're creating of couples and the communities that they're a part of that is going to help us move into this next octave as humanity.
Yeah, so agreed. Thank you so much. And thank you for your magical field of bringing Tara and I together. I give you full credit. In the line of work we're doing, you just take the credit where you can, it's
Yes.
okay.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I love you
Yeah.
both so much.
Same.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in and turning on for healthy love. Because better relationships mean more power, more creativity, and a better planet. If you want more love, pleasure, and power in your life, go to violetlang.com/talk.